to the Jody Seely Show podcast and my special guest today. I am crazy excited to be able to connect with this guy. He is an award-winning rodeo announcer. Believe it or not, there is such a thing. And he's also a school teacher. Please welcome Brett Gardner to our next COVID conversation. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. We were just talking here before we jumped on. You've had this amazing lineup of guests. So it's, I'm honored to get to hang out with you. So looking forward to it. So thank you.
Well, I've been watching, I think, a lot in your career for a long time. But I've especially been a creeper over the last little bit. And we're going to get into why in a moment. But I just thought I'd quickly touch base since we're having the theme of COVID conversations. You sort of work in two areas that have been fairly heavily affected by this pandemic. How are you holding up? This is pretty crazy.
It is. I think crazy is the word. I've been holding up okay. It's, I think like a lot of people, there's some awesome days and there's lots of perspective and gratitude and all those things. And it's just a wonderful day. And then the next day, it seems like I just can't get my chin off my chest and I'm dragging my feet around and I'm, all sad. But, lots of ups and downs, to be honest. Of course, with the rodeo world, which is the majority of my income and livelihood, that's really just came to a standstill. So that was kind of a shock to the system, and a lot fell apart, I guess, for lack of a better term, in a few weeks. So that one was tough. Kind of makes me sad more than anything, because there's a big boat that we're all in, and we're all kind of paddling that same boat right now. So there's a lot of people in the rodeo industry and in the Western sports industry that were affected. Yeah, me being one of them, but there's certainly people that were impacted more than me. Kind of sad with that. And then the school teaching thing, I still teach school halftime on a halftime basis. So it has impacted the way we deliver, of course, our content or material, whatever teacher word you want to use. But I've enjoyed it. It's kind of been different. It's been tough for some kids, but there's also a lot of positives. Some kids have really responded to it and are doing better on that online platform. I do teach in a high school, so some of those kids, I think, are able to roll with the punches a little bit. I know my kids at home, my wife and I have three kids, so trying to learn online for, a grade three and a grade five and a real little one can be a little trying at times. But I think like everybody, we're rolling with the punches and we are learning as we
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't doubt that. And we appreciate everything that you do, for sure. It's change is always, I guess the best word to describe it is interesting. Mm-hmm. Because there's days where it's awesome and there's days where it's not, just like anything else in life. So what can you do? You just got to roll with the punches.
Rolling, man. Move, one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Now, what I wanted to kind of dive into you, our real conversation of the day today, Brett, is that I don't know exactly, I think because now that we're in the middle of a pandemic, the concept of time sort of eludes us, but it was a while ago where you decided to use your social media platform and the circles that you have with the profession that you do to share your personal mental health story. Where did that decision come from for you?
That's, there's a lot that goes into that. We might have, cut me off if I'm going too long, but really when it started, I guess, to give you some of the foundation, it goes back, and I say it's kind of a three-prong approach, what really shoved me over the hillside to start opening up a little bit. But first of all, when I talk about my own experience, I've got this wonderful career that I never, ever thought I'd have. I never, ever imagined that I would get an opportunity to announce at the Calgary Stampede or the Canadian Finals Rodeo or be on TSN with the Monster Energy Tour, all those things. They just blew my mind. And I thought, wow, I have this incredible career. I have this incredible wife. I've got three children who are wonderful and healthy. I've got a roof over my head. I'm in a spot where I'm financially stable, all of these things are wonderful. But there was just something missing for me. There were still those days that I wasn't super happy, and I just didn't love the version of me, how I like to put it. I just didn't love who I was all the time. And I wanted to be happy more often. I wanted to be a more present father. I wanted to be a more loving husband. And so it came to a point from my professional standpoint and my career, there were some things that were kind of causing that to happen. But there was just one day where I finally said, okay, I need to make some changes. And I had to be honest with myself. I was just kind of burnt out. My plate was really, really full. And I thought that's what I needed to be happy. I needed to be going and doing 130 performances a year and still trying to teach school and still trying to raise a family and do all these things. And it just was starting to catch up with me. So that was one of the three prongs that kind of pushed me over the edge. It was just from a professional standpoint, I knew I needed to make some changes. I just couldn't keep up the pace. And then from the school teaching standpoint, I'd always wanted to give back. I mean, I'd been a school teacher for 12 years and I always taught from really the heart, as cliche as that sounds. Some people say, what's your style of teaching? I said, I just love them. I just go in there and I love them and I give as much love as I can because I love those kids and I want them to be able to reach their dreams. And so there was always that side of me. And then when I thought about doing something, okay, I've kind of had my own struggles. I've got lots of these dark days. Am I alone? You know, am I the only one? And then I thought, well, no, I'm not, because I know these other, even these kids at school. So me as an adult that's been successful in my career, I'm still having some struggles. I'm still not always the version of me I want to be. And then I also see these kids at school. Well, and they're kind of struggling. And why aren't they happy? And why aren't they full of love? So then when I started to do a little more research and look into it, and then you come to find out that, you know, by the time you're 40 years old, you know, 50% of the people by the time they're 40 years old have struggled with some form of mental illness. When we look at kids, 20% of high school age students get the mental help they need, only 20%. So when I started to look at those, I'm like, those numbers don't work for me. That doesn't line up. So that all came together for me. And it was just kind of a sign like, hey, I like to talk. I like to communicate. I want to help people. It's just time for me to do really my life's work is how I put it. So I started to present a lot more with a presentation called The Dark Days of July. And for me, my darkest days often come in July. I go on a run rodeo where I'm on the road for 6-7 weeks. I'm just flat out. I've got 30 performances in 30 days. They're the biggest rodeos in the country. Calgary Stampede, biggest in the world. It's supposed to be great. Well, why isn't it great? And so for me, it was just time for me to figure out why. I want to be happy. I want to enjoy the process. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better teacher. I want to be a better friend. So it was just finally that day when I looked in the mirror, I said, okay, time to make those changes. So that was for me really the tip of the iceberg. And then it was time to get to work.
And how scary was that? Because I think that being a man, for one thing, like I'm not pulling the sexist card, but men don't typically like to share feelings. They don't like to admit a weakness that isn't necessarily a weakness. At the end of the day, you'll find, I'm sure you'll share that it's actually created more strength for you, but to take that step and then say it out loud and then say it out loud to people who are watching you and you don't know how they're going to react. What did that feel like?
Yeah, that was hard and is hard. And that's still one of the hardest things that people will always do. When we talk about that stigma that surrounds mental health, it's so hard because when we say something, when we say it out loud, it gives us so much more power. You know, the science says it's 10 times more powerful when you say something out loud and give it validation. But not only as a male, but I really felt that role that I played as an announcer, standing in front of people, and so many people are afraid to speak publicly. And you have, and you look out in these audiences, and at times there's 5,000 or 10 or 20,000, and it's your job to be the guy. You've got to go and stand and deliver every time. So that made it even more difficult for me, I think, when I look back to say, hey, I need some help or something because I don't know what's going on here, but how could I do that? You're Brett Gardner. You're the announcer. You're the guy driving the ship here. Nothing can be wrong with you. It's all perfect. But it really wasn't. So that was starting to catch up with me. But for me, I just knew I needed to change. And I actually had a conversation with a friend of mine. And I remember just reaching out and saying, I don't know what's happening, but I feel like I got this 10,000-pound weight on my chest. And I can't catch my breath, and I don't know what to do. And that's all I ever said. That was my jump-off point. And he said, geez, man, that sucks. I just, sorry you're feeling that way. How can I help? And I said, I don't know. And that was the end of the conversation, but it was just enough to start it for me. And that's all it took. And that's one of the reasons I love to tell my story, because so many people think that at times it's this huge thing and it's going to take, you know, forever to get going. Well, it was a 30-second conversation for me that started that ball rolling. And then he checked in with me the next day. How you doing? Oh, yeah, no, I'm feeling better. I'm okay. And then he checked in with me another time. And then I started to talk to a few other people. And it was really just very conversational. But it made it a lot easier for me then to go and find what I needed. And like I say, I always talk a lot about, even when I present on it, there's no magic pill. You got to do the work. But I said it out loud for the first time. I told somebody, I validated the way that I felt. And now I could go to work to fix it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think that you having the profession that you do and the platform that you have is, I don't know, it's even more awesome that you're able to go through something like this. Not that you would wish someone to struggle by any means when I say this, but I think in the world today, in the world of comparisons, in the world of social media, and even if there wasn't social media, we still, if you look back in the past, we compared ourselves to our neighbors. The horrible world of comparison makes it feel like somebody like you, or a somebody like me, or a somebody like so-and-so that we've placed over here can't have a bad day. And we have no idea what really happens inside somebody's brain and inside somebody's heart and inside somebody's home. And I love that you can just shake that down for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was one of the big keys when I said, when the next stage of finding out what was kind of doing it for me and getting me, like you said, at the bottom of the rabbit hole or those dark days. And for me, it was a lot of that pressure. Like it's when you put yourself out there as a performer, you have to perform. The show must go on. It doesn't matter how you're feeling. It doesn't matter if you got in a fight with somebody or you parked in the wrong spot and somebody told you, it doesn't matter. You got to flip the switch. And then it got to a point in my career where all the events I was doing were really, really good events, which I'm so thankful to do and be a part of. But then came the pressure. And I said, you had to deliver every time. And there wasn't those ones that you ever just phoned in, you know, like, yeah, whatever, who cares? It's just Friday night at the CFR. I'm going to take this one off. It doesn't work like that. So the pressure just was kind of getting to me. And I felt like I started to be a prisoner to my hotel room. I would go to work, but you wouldn't see me kind of anywhere else mingling or hanging out, or I wasn't going out after or doing anything like that. I'd race you back to the hotel because I just had to go get my head right again and get everything back in line so that I could go do it again tomorrow.
Has there been any honest, raw fallout from taking that stance?
I don't think so, no. No, not really. There's so many bonuses because of it. And that's why one of the reasons, and I know I'm jumping all over the place, but that's one of the reasons that I love talking about it now and taking the opportunities, because for 10 years, I used to say I was ignorant to it, but I was just, you know, I was unsure. I was unaware. Years ago, 2-3 years ago, my wife said, maybe you should talk to somebody. Like maybe, you know, because you talked about the idea of comparing ourselves to others. Well, there's a huge amount of insecurity, and that's human nature. And I'm so guilty of that. You know, you talk about the golden handcuffs of insecurity and comparison, and that's alive and well. And if we do that, it dominates our life. And I know that feeling all too well. You're always just trying to, you know, figure that out. And one of the comments that I was thinking when you talked about that was, there was a post and there was a picture that somebody put up of me one time, and I was on a stage and it was a PBR opening, and there was pyro behind me and we're rocking. And somebody says, wow, one day I want to be up there like Brett Gardner. And I thought, how ironic, because at that point in time, I didn't want to be up there. I didn't want to be Brett Gardner. It's somebody's comparing themselves to you. So it was just, yeah, so many moving parts there, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I always like to say that comparison is insecurity's ugly twin. So they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And it is. It's the human in us.
Yep.
So I guess for you, the first step was saying it out loud, which if anybody is in that same place listening to this or watching this, they can, you know, okay, the first step it sounds like a cliche is the hardest, but again, you blurt it out and then you take the next step. What did next steps look like for you? I mean, you don't have to give all your personal details, but if someone's thinking, okay, if I phoned a friend later today and said it out loud, then what? Because I think we get stuck in our minds, right? And we'll talk ourselves out of it so damn fast.
Yeah, that's one of the huge pieces. And when I started to present, one of the things I said, I promised myself, I've got to deliver that next step and that question you asked, because I always said, I love the Bell Let's Talk campaign. And it gets it rolling, like you said, but what's that next step? I don't know how many times I got out of bed in the morning, like, today's going to be the day. I'm going to stick to my diet this week, you know? And then by Wednesday, you're like, not a chance. But for me, it was, I really believed myself. I was finally in that right space. I'm like, nope, I got to be a better dad. I got to be a better husband. I got to be a better friend. Got to be a better leader, all these things. So I was just honest with myself for the very first time. And then, like I said, I talked to somebody and I put in the work. And when I say put in the work, I just started to seek stuff out. I read books. I started to find people on YouTube and I consumed their content. I started to talk just more to people about it and kind of reach out to friends. And even still, I was worried at times, but I just kind of feel them out, you know, hey, how about this or that or anything, you know, what's going on, what's happening with you? Or I kind of ease around those conversations because, again, I was still worried about being judged or, you know, it's embarrassing for me. I was always the guy that could hold it together. So that's what it looked like for me. Started to just do that self-development, really, that professional and personal development. Read a few books, started to consume that stuff on YouTube and listen to podcasts. And I think that's big. Sometimes you think, oh, well, that's it. All you did is watch YouTube. But I just had to start changing that state of mind. I started to get the positive injection in my mind and be able to get up in the morning and have put a smile on my face and then learn little things. Like I would start to meditate. 2 years ago, I'd have never meditated. I'd have told you to get out the house, you know. Meditate and all about gratitude. I used to say gratitude was for people that were weak. This is how stubborn I was. I said gratitude's for people that aren't willing to work hard enough to chase their dreams and get what they need. Now I lean on gratitude more than ever before, and it is so, it's changes your life. You know, it really does. And we talk about gratitude and the ability to change our perspective and in turn create that mindset and that mind shift. So that growth mindset, all of these things that come with it. So there's lots out there. It's never a one size fits all is the thing. So I just think keep working, put the work in, you'll find something. It's kind of, that's the promise.
Well, and I think too, that a lot of those terms have become these sort of kitschy, catchy terms that people are tossing around with all kinds of things. And then you got, especially if you're somebody who is maybe a little bit more stubborn, you start to think, well, these are just marketing terms. These are just things that people are throwing around that don't mean anything. But there's ridiculous amounts of power behind something as simple as gratitude.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, you know, part of the story, not everybody can resonate with the job or the career I have. So they say, hey, he can't help me, or so-and-so can't help me because they're not a welder, or they're not a teacher, or they're not a broadcaster, or they're not a, but there's only so many feelings. The anxiety that you feel because of a job you do is the same anxiety I feel because of the job I do. And often there's those two or three things over here in the toolbox that we know that are proven to help fix anxiety. Well, the millions of us right now that have a little higher anxiety levels, a little more stress levels, there's only 12 or 14 good tools in the toolbox that we know they work. So it's just figuring out which combination is going to work for you, you know, and that's the point that I wish people we could get to too, because sometimes we just close the door. He doesn't know my world. Yeah, but I know your anxiety and I know your stress and I know you're right. We go down those roads together. So.
Absolutely. And how has the conversations you've had with other people been? Because I feel like you're sort of starting to help other people share their stories, and there's this interesting domino effect happening.
Yeah,
I would, in your industry. Yeah,
I think it's great. I think it's that's one of my favorite parts about it. And that's one of the parts I didn't know, I didn't see coming. I didn't know how it was going to be received. I just knew that I needed to do it. I needed to do it for me and my family, because that was most important to get me better. And then when I started to have those conversations, just the positive feedback was overwhelming. I was really taken back, and the ability or the opportunity, sorry, to help others, it's the greatest feeling in the world. There's no better feeling than to serve, I've come to find. And as, again, great as an ounce and the biggest rodeos in the country are, there's no feeling like somebody coming up to you after an hour and a half conversation or presentation, and they say, wow, that completely gives me a whole other perspective on things. Thank you so much. I can't wait to go attack the day tomorrow, or whatever that looks like. So I love having those conversations now, because it's just an opportunity, what I call bridge the gap. I want to bridge the gap from where I am to where I want to be, and I want to help others do the same. So my boat's going this way to where we want to be. Get in the boat with me. I want to help you. Here's some of the tools. Let's do this together.
I love it. Now, this week is Canadian National Mental Health Week, and the theme for their week this year is hashtag get real. So what advice or tidbit or info or, I don't know, nugget would you throw out at us that helps us to get real?
I just think you've got to be honest. You have to have that honest look at yourself, and self-awareness is huge. I spent a lot of years lying to myself and thinking, okay, it's going to get better, but it was just kind of the same. Everything was really good, but I wanted it to be great. So I knew that I needed to make a change. So I think honesty is huge. Self-awareness, you have to be self-aware, but I always revert back to that idea of you've got to put in the work. There's no way to get around it. You got to be real with yourself first and foremost, and it's going to take work. It's not easy. It's like we talked about, trying meditation. Well, that didn't work for me. Well, did you try it for more than a day? Try it for a week. Try it for a month. If it doesn't work, okay, maybe get up at 6 a.m. in the morning and go for a half hour walk every morning and practice gratitude, or consume, you know, Tom Bilyeu's impact theory, whatever that means. Watch Dr. Jody Carrington, whatever it takes. Just don't give up on yourself. So I think the best thing is just put in the work, and it's the best work you'll ever do. I promise you. I promise you.
Well, and we're never really awesome at something the first time we try it. Think of anything we've ever done, anything you've ever done the very first time, it was a little rough. So you know what? Practicing gratitude or living in truth or even getting out of bed to go for a walk, it is not awesome the very first time, but it will get better. You have to just keep going. I love it. So if people would like to follow along, I know you've been doing some Brett Gardner lives on your social media and sharing some cool stories. Like, where's the best place if someone wanted to be like, hey, Brett, I got to take that first step, or I want to see what else is going on. Where should they do that?
Well, I think if my stuff, you know, like Instagram, Facebook stuff is where I'm at, Gardner Rodeo, and then Brett Gardner. But I think first step from if you need to reach out to a friend or a professional or something like that, I think one of the big things I like to get across too is when I reached out to somebody for help, it wasn't walking into a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a professional, and that's okay. It's somebody different for everybody, and I think that's what's great about it. But I also think right now too, with this quarantine isolation stuff, if you're thinking you need to talk to somebody, it's a great time because you can go online. There's lots of access to those people through the CMHA is a great resource that I revert back to a lot, the Canadian Mental Health Association and all of those things. So that's, I think, one of the positive things with our, I know we're often looking for positives within quarantine land, but I think right now is a great opportunity for people that think they need to reach out to somebody and they're still kind of worried with that stigma and they're just maybe embarrassed. Man, 100% online. Nobody needs to know who anybody is. I just think it's a really good first step.
Absolutely. 100% agree. Okay. Well, before we let you go, One thing that we like to do with all our COVID conversations is we like to end with a fun little Corona confession. What have you done, or something you've maybe eaten too much of or done too much of, or anything? What's Brett Gardner's Corona confession?
I have had more barbecue potato chips in the last 6 weeks than any human should consume in their lifetime. That's where I'm at.
Barbecue potato chips. That actually sounds quite delicious. I haven't had barbecue for a really long time. It's one of those forgotten flavors, I think.
It's my go-to. That's my favorite. I'm everything barbecue. Yes, barbecue chips are my go-to.
I love that. Well, we appreciate you, one, sharing your confession, and two, just having the heart and the courage to share your story. And I'm sure you get thanked a lot, but you could never be thanked enough. So I'm going to take a moment to do that here and just tell you how much I appreciate you just walking in that truth and living that life and realizing that your gift that you have been given is more than just a performer at an event. You have an incredible one. So thank you for taking the courage every day to live in that. It is much appreciated for the rest of us.
Yeah, no, thanks for allowing me another platform to try and just increase that awareness and encourage people to do what they need to become the versions of themselves they want to be. And a lot of times it's that mental health and that mental fitness that stands in the way. So whatever they need. And thank you for continuing, your virtual morning coffees and being just a wonderful community engagement specialist and all of these things, because connection is important now more than ever before. So thank you for all your efforts and hard work as well. I appreciate it.